go.
Welcome to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. Brothers and sisters, sisters and brothers, beings who don't have gender, welcome to Ever Beyond. It's Sunday, July the 15th, 2012, and I was going to have a kind of open show, but now I've got a much more focused idea about what's going to happen. Well, at least in the general ballpark of things. I have two gentlemen who are regular guests on the Wolf Spirit Radio chat room, who also seem to have some interest in, common interest in what I have, and that's the subject of crystals and radionics and psionics and all those other onics and metatronics. We have a gentleman who goes by the moniker of Jack 523, and that's where he's going to keep it. And we also have Tremjar, and you can use, if you want to use your real name or handle, whatever you want to do in that. But we'll call you Tremjar for the moment. Is that the right way to pronounce it?
Yep, that works.
How do you pronounce it?
No, Tremjar is fine.
All right, that's great.
That's how it says.
That's wonderful. So let's. So, without further ado, I played the show that I recorded with you, Jack, a couple of weeks back on the Revolution Radio slot, and I thought it'd be nice to just, you know, fill in the blank time that I was going to have anyway with that show, and it sparked some, you know, interesting conversation, and what came out of it was that Tremjar here has a crystal. With bits, and he was asking you questions back and forth, and the kind of subject, the topic grew, and so it would be nice maybe if you guys could really kind of lay it out here, and you know, we can all get an education. Trem will get his power wand, and maybe he'll get the girl of his dreams. Jack. How are you doing, Jack?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm very, very well. I ran a party last night with some friends of mine, and I ran the sound system and ran it all off DC 12 volt batteries, and I was very pleased that we've got an off the grid PA system that's pretty loud. It's, you know, it fills up a dance hall. So, on the topic, wands, things like that, crystals, who wants to start?
Well, Jack is more qualified than I, so I think Jack should start.
Well, I'm listening here. The audio is cutting out a good bit, so.
That's my connection. Fuck. Hold on, let me try something else.
No, you're fine, actually. You're coming through to the studio fine. Jack, if you need anything repeated, is it coming through?
Is it coming through?
Oh, hang on, you've got the speakers on there.
Speakers on there.
Tremjar?
Shit.
Thankfully, we're not on Revolution Radio.
Let's try to find something that'll work for us all. And my connection sucks balls, so I'm having an issue with this.
So, Jack, we can hear you quite clearly. If you need us to repeat, just ask us to do that again.
Yeah, well, JP, you're cutting out a lot, so... did you ask me to talk about something specific?
Yeah, we're going to sort of start the ball rolling. We're talking about, like, what is a power wand and what the sort of attributes. And, you know, you said some interesting things in the chat before about how you align crystals, how you can feel a crystal, which end is the right end to do things with. Did you get that? Can you talk on that?
Okay, yeah, I can expound on that a little bit. All right, well, what you need to understand is that the crystal, I believe the crystal is a living entity in itself. And again, you know, I think about Marcel Vogel, and from what he said is pretty much the same, maybe not, you know, saying that it's a living, conscious organism, but that it grew, and he said it would grow up, like there'd be it'd be in the earth, and there'd be a stream of hot water, and it would be frozen in a flash, and then in that time it would cause a helical spiral in the structure of the water that's in there, and it would begin forming this crystal depending on what mineral was in its vicinity. That's where you get the different kinds of crystals. Because it's not all, as people talk about crystals, they're usually talking about a clear silica dioxide crystal. But there's many different kinds. It can be many different minerals that form a crystal. Like we have salt crystals and we have sugar crystals. They're just as much crystal, it's just a different mineral. So what he said is it would begin growing, and then after it stopped growing, its consciousness or its spirit would move away from it, and then the crystal's job is done. It already had its life cycle. And when this thing grows, the energy goes up through it from a spiral, just like even people do. It's a little bit harder to do since we're all wearing these insulated rubber soles, but we actually draw energy from the earth through our feet and through our legs when we sit down on our legs, which is why I believe the ancients used to do that. And when this is coming up, the energy is coming up from the bottom and it's spiraling up in the case of a crystal. And the crystal has that helix, that six-sided shape naturally. And when it goes through there, it bounces around and it makes an exact symmetry. And again, that goes into sacred geometry, and you know, certain shapes having power. Well, you have the energy flowing up to the earth because it's connected to the earth, and it's spiraling up inside of it, and it's going up to the top. Well, just like a human being, I mean, where a lot of the processes go, I mean, the energy is flowing up to your head, and then your head controls your body. Well, that's the transmitter, and they talk about the third eye. Well, if you're pulling energy from your feet, and the energy coalesces in your third eye, and it shoots out. So you could say that's the human personification of the crystal. So because you have this, the energy naturally wants to flow, like you could think of a river. If you try and go against the flow of the river, you're working yourself for no apparent reason. If you float down the river, then you can just sit back and relax. And then if you're flowing down the river and then you paddle, well, you're going to beat whoever else is competing with you or whatever. So if you want to go with the flow of nature and get the most out of the crystal, you have to find out where the seed, I think it was called the sea axis. And that's where the crystal grew up from the earth or from the cave wall. So you have to take that, you put it in your right hand, because that's generally your transmitting, and that's your yang energy. And you hold it in your hand, and then you point the area that was broken from the crystal wall towards the palm of your hand, and there's a very important meridian in the palm of your hand for sending energy, and that's probably a lot of the reason why your hand works to begin with the synapses going through your palm. So you hold it there, and you kind of tune it in. You can move it back and forth until you find a good stream coming through the transmitting end. And once you get that, to know what side is which, in case you don't know where it was broken off from the wall, you pull it in your hands, and then you hold it between your thumb and your middle finger, and you point. You can even put your index finger on top of it to help point the energy, and then you focus it, moving it back and forth to your left palm. And then you can move it up and down and side to side. And then you feel that and see how much energy is coming through to your opposite hand. Then you take it and you just completely reverse it and do the same thing. And if there's about half as much energy or not any energy at all, that means that the other way is the transmitter. Because you can just think of it as a river. You can either paddle upstream or you can go downstream. Which one do you prefer? And that's pretty much what I was talking about with that.
So, to recapitulate that, if you're holding a crystal in your hand, you have one end which has been broken off from the rock, usually. Sometimes they're polished. But if you're holding a natural crystal in your hand, you'll have one end which is kind of broken, and the other end which normally has a point. The pointed end is the transmitting end, and you would hold it as if you were holding... now let me just think. What else would you hold? I'm just holding one like this, and I'm thinking, what do I hold that goes like this? I suppose drumstick?
A drumstick. Pretty much anything. If it's a stick, you hold it the same way.
Yeah.
If you have a bow staff, same.
And I find that my thumb runs along the axis perfectly when I'm holding it like this. Is that right? So I've got my thumb on top and the crystal in the palm. And this crystal, I must say, it's nearly an inch broad, half an inch high, and 5.5 inches long. That's a fair, it's a nice, a good hand size one. But I have a question, which I've always wanted to know. Many crystals have a chip. You know, they're chipped at the tip. Does that affect them? And can it be corrected?
Yeah. It can be corrected by cutting it out and making a smooth surface. Because we're thinking about if the crystal is a transmitter. Then if the transmitter is somehow fractured or broken, do you think it's going to work as good as if it wasn't?
Let me ask a question. You guys both have video, right? So what I was thinking of doing is showing Jack on the video the crystal that I have and go from there. Of course, I have to enable it real quick, but this is the crystal I have, if y'all see it.
Have you got your camera on?
I do now.
All right, I can't see it. You can't see it in the group chat. Sadly. All I see is your profile picture. So, you need a special version of Skype, which I don't think either of us have. You haven't got a photo of it, have you? Not that's uploaded anywhere.
Shit.
Nope. It's okay.
Oh, wait, here we go. Oh, wait, no, it's not turning on. You're turning off on me.
Yeah. No, it won't go on because we're on a conference call. We'll do that one at a time. So Tremjar, you have this massive crystal. Where did you get this from?
Actually, Fortunato, our chat room member, Fortunato, 42 NATO.
Oh, 42 NATO, right. Fortunato.
Yeah, he gave it to me one day. And it's an awesome crystal. It's really cool. To try to describe it, it's double terminated on one end, single terminated on the other, and has a couple of protrusions from either side. It's a very, very interesting looking crystal.
Yeah.
Like I said, you'd have to see a picture of it. It's kind of hard to describe.
Yeah, so, I mean, it sounds like a rather beautiful thing that you wouldn't really want to hide away.
Well, that's what I was wanting to do. That's when I was talking about putting into a staff, getting a pure copper tube, as pure as I can get, and make a staff out of it.
Yeah.
Which is why I was wanting Jack's help, and how to go about that. And I figured if Jack saw it, he could tell me a little more about it.
Mm. And where would you take your staff?
Do what?
What would you do with your staff?
It's basically for, I mean, anything that you can do with a basic crystal. Where you can do healing, all the normal things that you don't do with a crystal. I mean, they can be defensive weapons, they can be offensive weapons, they can be used for healing. We all know what all crystals can do, divination, all sorts of things. Making the staff, putting it into a copper pipe wrapped in natural leather, will amplify the power of the crystal.
Right. So are you familiar with organite, Trim?
Not really, just from what I've heard around here.
Okay.
But what I understand, it would be a very great addition to the staff.
Yeah, well, from what I understand, I've made a couple of batches of organite, and I have this lovely lady. She runs the Chinese tea house. We have a Chinese tea house in the local town, and she's just brilliant. Her name's Wendy. And when she wants to show off the organite, so she'll get somebody to sit down and hold a piece of paper in one hand, and she says, "Put your fingers together like this," and she makes you take your left hand and put your thumb and pinky together, okay? And she says, "Try to stop me pulling these apart." And so people try as hard as they can to pull the fingers apart. And she's holding the piece of paper in her hand, and it's pretty easy. And then she gives her a piece of organite. Says, "Hold this in your hand, this magic stone." she's Chinese. She doesn't speak brilliant English, but there's a magic stone. And people can actually feel the strength that this piece gives them. Because they can feel how much harder it is for Wendy to pull their fingers apart. It's an absolute seller. I mean, it's such a brilliant thing. If you ever want to sell some organite, that's how you do it. You show somebody how much it increases the person's chi. With the force that holds your... It gives you strength, literally. The truth gives you strength. That's how dowsing works, and organite gives you strength. So, That's one of the things that we do with organite here. So you can try this at home. Try it with your friends. If you've got any organite, just try it with the hand test. But go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't have any offhand. All I've got is this crystal right now. And I know where to get my copper pipe, and I would like to find some organite to put in that.
So you know the piezo effect, don't you?
Yeah.
So when you squeeze a crystal, you get energy out of it.
Right.
So the idea of organite is it's made from resin, polyester resin. It's okay. It's an organic material. It's made from crude oil, But it's a natural. It actually tends to be a natural element. Material that when it sets, when it hardens, it shrinks a little bit, and that shrinkage is enough to put pressure onto the crystal, enough to make the crystal vibrate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like squeezing a crystal with your hand. Your It's kind of getting squeezed from all around, you see? So if you embed a crystal into a resin, it will activate it, it will turn it on, it will make it start vibrating. And it also contains pieces of metal. Now, Wilhelm Reich found that it would, if you have layers of metal and layers of organic material, it would attract argon, which is what he called qi. And it would attract bad energy as well as good energy. He called it deadly argon, which is a bit dramatic, but you know, all the stuff from cell phone towers and things like that. So the way organite works is that it has an argon attractor, which is the metal particles, and then it has an argon pump, I call it, which is the crystal. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So
that's well said.
So if you hold this thing on your hand, you're also giving it a little extra squeeze because of the pressure that you can put on your hand. It may also be possible for you to have different crystals at different places in the copper tube if you're going to fill it with organite. But basically the organite will be a combination of metal and crystals, quartz crystal, and preferably kind of as a line down the tube as possible, so you've got like an accelerator.
Huh. Yeah. Very interesting.
So, I mean, you could use, for instance, do you know fiberglass? You ever made fiberglass things? Do you know how fiberglass is made?
Well, I haven't.
But you know
how I know. Yeah. Well, I know kind of how it's made, but I've never done it.
Yeah. Well, basically, it's that resin. It's the stuff that they make fiberglass with, and you can get it quite cheap if you know like a boat manufacturers or, you know, people who make canoes or kayaks or body parts, you know, industrial body parts and things like that. And it comes as a kind of thick syrupy stuff with a hardener, and you mix the two together, and it takes a couple of days to cure and get hard. But then your wand will be working, and yeah, I'm sure Jack will have some great ideas about what you can put down that tube.
Mm-hmm.
Won't you, Jack?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, whatever you put into it helps determine the quality of energy that's coming out. So I mean, you can make a talisman. You can put the talisman in there. That further details the energy that's coming out. And, you know, if you really got it really, I mean, if you really had it defined, you could probably just hold it and focus with it, and it would already have a pre-programmed thing that it's going to work on with that organ energy. So you're actively manifesting a certain thing just by holding it, because your own energy is shooting through it. So, but yeah, you could put all kinds of things. You could put organite in it. The organ attracts the energy from around you, and it also stores a little bit coming from your body. And since the energy is already inside there, then when you hold it, then it's your energy plus the energy that's already inside it going towards whatever intention you want to do that focuses through the crystal. The crystal is an amplifier of that energy because of the helical structure. So it's just, you know, 1 + 1 + 1.
Everybody wins.
That's the reason. Oh, you win spiritual manifestation.
All right, Jack. Have you ever looked into psionic weaponry at all?
Looked at what?
Have you ever looked into psionic weaponry?
Psionic weaponry.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, yeah, I mean, a wand would be a version of that.
All right, well, I've been looking for a website while I've been listening to you guys, and I can't seem to find it, but...
All right, well...
Have you ever heard of...
I was going to say, from what I know about it, as, you know, well, people speak about dimensions and different dimensional beings. Well, I just understand that astral beings, things that affect the astral plane. Well, what the psionic weapon does is that it can harm these beings that aren't necessarily have a physical form that we can touch. So So it's a sign of a quest, and it works on that. And since people have this astral body, you know, inside their body, you know, just normally going about their business, you can also harm people without even having to touch them.
Okay, well, there is a way you can build something called a force knife, just for example, but it's something called a force knife, and you basically take a blade, preferably manufactured from, there again, pure steel or pure copper or pure anything, you know, whatever it is, it's got to be 100% natural, 100% pure, as usual. And you take your handle, preferably copper, since it's relatively strong and very natural, and attach that to the blade and put all that together. And then you take a crystal of the appropriate size, and of course, you know how crystals are, shape and everything else, and put that at the other end of the handle. Wrap it all in natural leather, and, you know, and tie it all together with the leather, you know, tight, like we were discussing, you know, the crystal needs to be tight and everything else there, you know, wrap everything very tight using natural leather, and once it's all put together, what you end up with is a weapon that not only works in the physical realm, but it also projects a blade about 5 times the length of the actual knife in the etheric world, and you can use that in both planes.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And the great thing about the leather being on there is because, well, the leather is just another form of skin. Well, your energy, I mean, you can point your fingers and it will project that energy if you're consciously trying to push it out. So your skin is a great conductor of it, and you think, well, you're putting your skin against the skin on the leather, so you have a great energy transfer to the whatever you're using.
Right. Exactly. And not only that, but the leather also keeps the energy that is in there, rather than letting it escape and radiate out through the copper tubing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct. Because
that was one little device.
I was going to say, according to Wilhelm Reich, the metal would attract the organic energy and it would repel it. And while organic materials would attract it and hold it. So what you said is correct. If you have a copper tubing and then you wrap it with leather, it will attract and hold it. And on the inside, it will bounce around the inside, and it will project up to wherever there's something more organic, or it will attract us to another piece of metal.
Exactly right.
Ah, so you're saying that the leather around the copper, yes, of course, that's an organic material and a metal. So you could actually have several layers. You can maybe put a copper foil around it, and then another layer of leather or something like that.
Yeah, that's correct.
And that would increase its draw in. That would attract energy to it to be sent down the middle of the tube.
That is correct.
Interesting. Very interesting. He says, looking at a piece of blue-purple suede in front of me. I've got designs on you. I've seen, you know, the last few days I've seen, like, a little piece of copper pipe pop up somewhere. There's little bits of suede pop up. There might be something happening here, I can see.
Uh-huh. And adding the organite to it would only amplify the effect.
Yeah.
You know, I never even thought of the organite effects, but that would be an excellent addition to the device.
Now, I don't know if it's me, because I'm just like a bit compulsive and like love shiny objects, but I don't know, have you guys ever taken lasers and shone them into crystals?
No, I've never done that one.
If you could get one of those pen lasers, you know, the projector pen things, you can get them in three.
Oh, yeah. You can get them at Walmart for like $5.
That's right. Okay, so if you get one of those, and Then you project it into your crystal. You will find that your crystal absolutely lights up. It's almost like it enjoys it. It's like a feeling of, oh, it's like a almost like a cool hose pipe to it.
Yeah, while we're on the subject of laser, I don't mean to interrupt, but you can get, for about $300, I'll find the website as well, you can get the most powerful laser in the world that is for public consumption for about $300, and it is actually strong enough to burn things from like 3 feet away. And it's a green laser.
Well, actually, here's the hack. If you get an old DVD recorder, which can burn a DVD, you can take the laser out of that very carefully and mount it into a laser cascade system, and you can have a burning laser for like a few bucks that can light a match. You can point it at a match head and psh, psh. Yeah, I saw that on YouTube. I've never done it.
Yeah, I saw it too.
I saw that.
We all saw that. Yeah.
Imagine that.
So, yeah, and that brings us to another very, very interesting subject, which reminds me that there is a... You know, like, we've got this 432 thing going on with sound, right? There is a frequency of light, which I have been doing some research on over the last few years. And Tobias, who's in the chat room there, actually managed to get me a model of a device, which is not laser, it's LED. And they're high-brightness LEDs running at 660 nanometers. So that's a kind of orangey-red. And this frequency is the frequency that passes right through our body. It's tuned to the white stuff in our body, because that white stuff is like fiber optic cabling, and our brains produce this frequency in very small quantities in the brain, and sends pulses down to all the muscles and all the nerves, and that's how it kind of works as a kind of fiber optic network inside the body. And so by using this light, you can flood the body, or you can actually use it for acupuncture. You know, you can take a single fine point LED, or even a 660 nanometer laser, which I've been looking for, not an intense one, but one that's quite bright, and you can actually use it for acupuncture. Instead of using needles, you can just point this light at this this fellow and at each meridian point and use that. Have you come across that?
You can do that with a roll of cut crystals, because that's what you're working on, is their meridians. With that, you can actually just point at them, you enter in their energetic field, their aura, and then you can do the same thing. Now, like you said, it's a certain frequency. All you have to do is enter that frequency into the crystal, and then you blow it out, and it shoots that frequency into their energy body. So I'd imagine that'd be the same thing like you're talking about.
Yeah. It's such a beautiful blue, beautiful red when the laser lights up the crystal. And, you know, I've thought about making a wand with a laser built into the back end of it, so that we can press the button on it and it lights up the crystal.
Oh.
And so that would actually have an energetic and radiatory influence that came, because it would also be focusing the energy of the light beam, wouldn't it?
Oh. I just throw a light in the room for that.
Let me make a quick reference.
Sorry, you all broke up there. Jack first, then Trem.
So let me make a quick reference here. It says, I'm sure you've watched Star Wars. Where they have the little lightsaber.
Yeah, it looks kind of like a lightsaber.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, thinking about this, you have the Jedi, who are these psychic beings that can push and pull things, and what they're running around is this little wand that's supposed to have this focusing crystal in it that shoots out light. It gives off heat, light, and sound when you move it around. That's why it goes womp, womp, womp.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they're the wizards of tomorrow. So, I mean, just think about that when you're shooting lasers into it. And of course, they'd have different colored crystals. And depending on what type of people they are, they use different colors of crystals. I'm imagining it's to facilitate their own, psionic abilities. And of course, think about Star Wars. The guy who made it was George Lucas, and he's a high-ranking Freemason. So, I'm sure there's something to that.
And is he connected with Lucas, the light bulb manufacturer, as well, or the light bringer?
Yeah.
Anyway. Very interesting. Light is a very interesting thing. Now, you can go to your local Radio Shack, and you want to ask for 660 nanometers. Hang on, I'll just... That's the wavelength. Sorry, not 600. Oh, God.
You said 660, right?
I said 660, and I'm going to delete that message. 660... There you go. Right. So, yeah, sorry about that. I'm 19 thumbs and a couple of toes today in my hands. I don't know why. I have no idea. So, yeah, a lightsaber is essentially a kind of higher powered version of what we're talking about, The clever bit is how they make the light stop about 2 or 3 feet away. Any idea how you might do that? Just to make a column of light that stops? Because we've seen UFOs do it, haven't we?
Well, there is a column of light. It just may not be within the visible spectrum of your two eyes, anyway.
Ah, I see.
It may just need more energy behind it so it actually becomes, it permeates the dimension so that you can see it within the visible spectrum of light. Now, like I said, you can take these crystals and you can point it to your opposite hand and you can feel it. Now, sometimes if you're in a very dark room, you can actually see like a little light. Sometimes I point in my fingers, like it's called a sword hand mudra, and I'll do that and it actually looks like my fingers are projecting a very small amount of light. So I'll actually see a reflection on things that aren't supposed to be reflective. And your bones, like I'm talking about pointing with your fingers, your bones have a crystalline structure, and they can function like crystals in a certain way, and they can project that energy. What Vogel said too is that the crystals project three things. It's light, heat, and the third thing, of course,
sound.
Oh, and sound. Yeah, that's correct.
A Mitt Romney moment there.
Oh yeah.
Well, I just had a thought. I'm talking about the lightsaber, how you get the energy to end at a certain point. Maybe if you were to use, say, a double terminated crystal, that would define the end of the blade by itself. Maybe it might have its own return point. That's just a thought off the top of my head, but... Mm.
Yeah, so let's get going back to the 660 thing, because it's a very interesting subject. I have, Tobias supplied me with this one device, right? One. It's only one. It's like the only one in the country. And what it is an array of these LEDs, and they were built as a sign. You know, like they have in shops, they have a little marquee sign that passes by. And you can program it to make little words and have a marquee. But essentially, this thing is bright enough to act as a healing device. And I have a couple of people that I know. There is one who's suffering from chronic alopecia. And there is another guy who has MS, which totally drains his energy. And he came up to me one day... And, he was very despondent. He was, like, at the end of his tether. And this machine had just arrived, okay? So I said, look, sit down there and put this on your neck for 20 minutes. And And he was what you'd call enervated. You know, he was so out of energy. He was jittery and he, you know, couldn't keep still and was very, very distressed. Anyway, so 20 minutes came by and he was sitting there with this thing, and it was like he was bathing in warmth and relaxation. And 20 minutes later, I said, how are you doing? He said, can I have another 20 minutes, please? Basically, he has... he lives with this machine. You know, it literally helps him live because it supplies him with the frequency that his body's not able to transmit properly. And it's like almost like it charges up his cells. So this is a very interesting level of technology. Now, if you can combine that with a crystal, as I do, right? So you can go down to Radio Shack, you can buy an LED of 660 nanometers, and you can take an old maglite, or a new maglite if you like, take out the bulb, which is a little incandescent bulb, and you put the LED in its place. You get the LED that's the same size as the bulb, and make sure it's round the right way. It'll only light up if it's round one way, which is, you know, because it's a diode, you can only have it running from positive to negative. And what you get is a torch that you can actually, you know, with a high enough powered LED, you can actually do the acupuncture with the torch. But if you stick the torch behind a big crystal, then you're talking. Then you can actually kind of gaffer tape it, or, you know, involve the LED in a one design with a little battery that you can change at the other end, and voila, you have a light crystal wand. How cool would that be?
Mm-hmm. Now, you just got me thinking there. Now, what if I was to do take one of these, either the lasers I just linked or one of the ones that we were talking about building away?
Yeah.
What if I was to put that at the base of the staff, standing up through the crystal, and go from there?
If the material was clear, the whole thing would light up beautifully.
Yeah, it'd light up beautifully, but would it be of any use as far as functionality?
Well, if you have that specific frequency. There is another frequency of blue, and I can't tell you exactly what that frequency is. It is contained within David Wilcock's book, the Source Field Connect. Source Field,
yeah,
Investigations.
Source Field.
That frequency can cure cancer.
Huh.
And
we might have just stumbled onto something here.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you combine these technologies, then you've got something pretty awesome, haven't you?
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice if
we could,
you know, and it would be a nice little job, and you wouldn't need to have a job. You could sell these devices to healers, and you wouldn't need to worry about the tax man or the job or the this or the that. You'd be independent, right, and you'd be doing some good in the world.
Yeah, no shit. Huh?
Yeah, exactly.
That's an interesting... Oops, fuck.
What was that?
I'm sorry, I was playing with my flashlight and this crystal that I have.
Oh,
it has this little something thing on it.
It's got an alarm on it. Yeah.
I've been here looking at it, you know.
Oh, I see. Some of our listeners are actually experimenting with this as we speak. Oops, have we dropped someone? Right, we've lost. Have I lost? Nope, I'm still talking. So we'll wait for the call to come back, hopefully. So, yes. That's fantastic that you're experimenting. I really do recommend taking a torch. If you haven't got an LED, but you can get these things very cheaply. You know, you get them at a garage or something like that when you buy your gasoline. They have multicolored lights. and you can take them apart and use these, or if it's a torch, you can just kind of, you could take some duct tape and wrap it round, and maybe you can make it pretty. You can use some sort of resin casting compound to turn the two things into one. And essentially what you get is a crystal which will light up different colors, and you can even have one that has a rainbow in it. You know, you get it has three LEDs that do the RGB thing, and you can your colors will change gradually. You can buy even stands that do this. I had a couple of these things. They have three LEDs in the bottom. You put batteries in it, and you stand your big crystal on top of it, and it changes color. It runs through the rainbow one after the other. Beautiful things. I am so OCD with these things. It's just like if it lights up, and if it will light up a crystal, I'll have it in my house. It's brilliant. So you're oh, looks like Tramchar's got checked. Are you still there, Jack?
Yeah. If you want me to, I can expound a little bit on the different light colors.
Do.
Okay. Well, the different light colors represent different frequencies. The reason that we see light is because there are these frequencies that are radiating, and they're bouncing off objects, and our eyes perceive what that is. Well, and to think about this too, I mean, how is this connected to crystals? Well, who hasn't seen a crystal prism? It takes what we see as pure white light, and it divides it down into a rainbow of color. All these different colors represent a certain frequency range. And these, you know, like I said, red, green, and blue, they add that together to get all these different pictures, I mean, all these different light spectrums. And you could even take that down to like old, like Taoist teachings, like the three primal elements, the triple temoli. It's the, or the alchemists, you have, which are also represented by the same colors.
Yeah,
have wind, earth, no, you have wind, air, no, okay, wind, fire, and the other one, the water, and that would be the same thing. It would be yellow, green, and blue, and from the three primal elements, they would extract what physically manifests on the earth, and then when you have the light, well, if you consider us to be holographic beings, you know, light beings, if you will, because, you know, everything is somehow correlated to light. Like, you know, even physical matter, some say physical matter is just these frequencies bound together at a very slow rate, and so it gives the appearance of being matter, being physical, and it gives you resistance. And they're carefully layered one upon the other, and that's the physical form. And going back to the three colors, well, let's say the three colors represent these three elements, like the alchemists believed. And through the interaction of these three elements, you get everything that we can perceive in our world. So these different lights are different frequencies in themselves. So if you're, let's say you had a light chamber. I've seen it before, like I can't remember what it's called, but it's basically a knockoff brand of the Vogel cut crystals, and what they do is they wire these things up into a grid of organite, and they light it up like an LED, and they put different colors to it, or they just use, like if they want purple, they just get a bunch of amethysts and they cut them, and they put them in this grid, and they would put this through like a lamp stand. You know, like a light lamp stand with bulb, and you'd sit in this dark room, and you'd have this thing projecting this purple light upon you, and that was supposed to help heal you from whatever that frequency, that purple frequency range, is supposed to help alleviate. And by just projecting this color of light into you, getting certain information that's radiating into your light body, and to get even more on that. like some of these people that can see auras, well, they say, well, like you have a blue aura around you, that means that you're calm, or I can see a bunch of yellow in your aura, or that means you're lucky today, or something like that. So the light spectrum of these energies, there's a lot to that, and you can see what frequency these are by looking at a chart, because the frequencies are already mapped. So if you have this blue, let's say you are able to see the auras, you can see blue, you can find the chart, and you can see what frequency that is. And then since you have that frequency there, you can probably set it up to your radionics device and just set it to that frequency. It doesn't have to be visible. It's still the same frequency. And that opens another aspect of everything that we've been talking about, especially with crystals, since they're light bearers.
Absolutely. So this is a very, very interesting seam of information and possibilities, isn't it? Because if you were to combine all of these things that we're talking about, and then, okay, so here's the next step. My ability to mess with electronics is very, very basic. I can actually physically solder a board together, but I wouldn't be able to design a board, for instance. One of the projects that I'm trying to do is to create a device which will flash an LED at a specific frequency that frequency is derived from a person's voice using Shari Edwards' techniques to find that person's specific frequency. Have you heard any of the shows with Shari Edwards?
I don't believe so.
Okay, they're in our archives, and I would recommend everybody to check this out. In the archive section of wolfspiritradio.com, it says radio archive, it says topic frequency healing. Do have a listen to the shows that are in there. They're by various of the hosts with the same guest, and this guest is Shari Edwards, who comes from Ohio and has developed over the last 30 years a means of healing using acoustic frequencies. She was first able to do it with her voice. She would just go, and the first thing they discovered that would drop people's blood pressure, you know. It went on to, she actually helped her son reconstruct his knee patella, having it being smashed to pieces with a motorbike crash. It grew back by her using this sound. So what she's saying is all you need to do is find the right frequency and you can give that back to a person and heal them, whatever they're suffering from, because it's just a matter of the brain is not producing that frequency due to some trauma. So you give it a kickstart, and then eventually the body takes over by producing whatever it is that frequency produces. My dream, even though I'm rather inept at doing these things, is to create a device that you can program that will play an MP3 sound, say, into a sound to light converter that will then pulse the LED at the specific frequency of that person's signature sound through the crystal and into their acupuncture points. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, that sounds possible to me.
Excellent. Excellent. right. So,
I could comment on that.
Do.
Alright, well, let's think about some of the Taoists, or like some of the Buddhists. Well, their idea of healing is to all sit around in this little temple, and they all sing a certain note. And sometimes they'll hit a gong, and that gets everyone's attention into one place. And it kind of shatters their consciousness. It brings them into the now. And then they're all meditating together in the temple, and the temple is an energy device in itself. And then they play these little sound bowls, and they'll chant to the frequency of the sound bowls until it has this harmonic resonant sound. So, or in some other temples, they'll have someone go in there and they'll recite certain mantras, and they'll be singing these specific frequencies, you know, again, in like a temple or something. And the temple is like an acupuncture point for the earth itself to put energy through it. So you have the organ energy, and then you have the frequency. And then you have the mind behind it working behind it. Because let's say, well, I'm having a problem with my throat. So, okay, well, this is a mantra you have to recite. You go into the temple, and then you recite that mantra. And sometimes there might be a group of monks there praying with you. And so you have the same general compilation of things. And that's something they've done for a very long time.
Absolutely.
One thing I do is I teach Kujien. And that's what I've been incorporating into it, is that when you hold a certain hand signal, and when you hold the hand signal, you're actually manipulating your acupressure points through your hands.
Say that again. So you broke up. Sorry, you broke up, and it was really important. The hand signals do what?
The different hand signals called mudras. Your hands, as I said, are very complex, and there's lots of energy structures going through that. According to some of the Chinese, that all the major organs in your body are connected to these energy points on the ends of your fingers. They're connected to these nerves, and by putting your fingers, like weaving them together in a certain way, you're accessing the energy of these certain organs. And when you're accessing it, you're putting a direct interface into that organ or that area, and while you're holding it, then you get a mental visualization of what you want done. Let's say you wanted to heal like your big toe. Well, you get the correct mudra that's associated with that energy structure. You hold that in there, and then you do a certain frequency. Like let's say the mudra are in. So you put your weave your hands in the right way. You imagine your toe, and then you get the mental visualization that energy is going to your toe to reconstruct it in a natural way. And then you resonate a frequency. In this case, it would be Ren. So then you would focus on it, and you'd make it in your mind that the energy is there, like in a ball, reconstructing it. And then you recite a sound. In this case, Ren. So you'll Ren, Ren, Ren. And while you're doing this, I mean, usually you'll feel like a secondary vibration in your hands. Because again, your hands have bones in it, and they can function like crystals. So you get the secondary vibration going through that, and just me doing that, I feel it's almost like a chill going through my entire body. And this is all correlates to the same thing. Because again, you have a bone structure, they're like crystals. So you have an interface. And again, the Kujin is just another way of doing the same kind of healing that I was talking about before, like the tasks in the temple, you know, praying and reciting mantras.
That's superb. Thank you for that. One of the reasons that I'm very, very interested in that is that apparently I do spontaneous mudra. That I get these kind of charges through my body, and then suddenly my hands are in a position that looks like the same thing that happens on those Buddhist monks' paintings of the Buddhas. I have these, mm-hmm. you know, my certain fingers will touch each other, and or some fingers will fold up, and you know, I'll do one of those mudras, but I've never actually learned it because I've always liked it spontaneous. It's just like, I don't want to second
guess. I've heard
that
from several people.
Yeah, and you know, when they describe the Force in Star Wars, that's what it feels like. It's like it can move you, or you can move it. And yes. You can allow it to move through you, or you can allow your body to make a shape, a form that conforms with the force. It's not like a linear thing. It's not like it can take different geometric forms, and your body can take those forms as well. I sit there, and when I meditate, you know, I'm just kind of jerking around, and and my arms are swinging around and doing all these weird things. It's odd. I don't like to meditate with other people. It's a bit strange. Yeah. Right. Okay. Oh. So there's some feedback. Thank you for your explanation, Jack. Yeah. Anyway, actually, that mudra. That's some mudras there. There's a question here from Dakota Flower. Is this why a number of us in chat are having ongoing hot hands?
Well, from what I understand, the guy named Frank who was doing these same kind of meditations did a meditation where your hands would heat up.
Oh, Frank
now,
Gordon,
during the rin. During the rin that I was just doing, it may be a certain, maybe a correlative energy to what he was doing. So me just doing that over the air probably broadcasted some of the energy to you and probably reheated you.
Excellent.
That'd be my guess.
That's brilliant. Thank you, Jack. I'm going to call a break right now because I'm sure a lot of people have been drinking their tea in the last hour and we'll need to make room for the next hour's worth. I'm going to play a really appropriate tune. It's called. It's by a band called Morcheeba, British band. Trip hop was the name of the genre a few years ago, and this one is called Crystal Blue Persuasion. Oh yes, it is. And it might take a second or two. But there we go. Crystal Blue Persuasion.
Look over yonder, what do you see? The sun is rising, most definitely. New day is coming, people are changing in beautiful crystal blue persuasion. Thank you.
Persuade. Oh, I love it. I love it when the track doesn't finish right and it was improperly downloaded 10 years ago. Anyway, lovely track there. That was Mochiba and Crystal Blue Persuasion. Go to their website. Go and buy their records. They're absolutely amazing music. Really, really lovely Sunday afternoon music. So, where are we? Yes. Everybody's hungry now. Hopefully you've managed to refresh your cups of tea and coffee and maybe even a glass of beer. Thanks for the beer, Wolf Baby. Haven't had it yet. I'm going to crack it open in the next hour. So, I've got no chocolate. I don't know. Maybe Jack's got some chocolate. I don't know. Anyone got some chocolate in the chat room? So, where were we? We were talking about the hands. I've got a particular fascination for hands, Jack. They've got synapses in them. You've got brain cells. And I've always had this perception that hands do have their own consciousness. And I continually freak people out. Because what happens is they'll say, I've lost my blah, 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 you know, and the first thing I say is, well, it's probably underneath on top of something, which it always is, you know, when you lose something, it's because you've hidden it from yourself. The other thing is that the last thing to touch the thing was your hand, so it will remember, and often people complain to me, oh, I've lost such and such. And it happened a few days ago with a woman that I worked with at the tea room. She said, I've lost my coat. So I said, give me your hand. She, like, puzzledly looked at me. So I took her hand and spoke to it as if I was talking to a person. I said, can you find your coat, please? And sure enough, she'd gone to a friend's house and forgotten that she'd left the coat there. And the hand kind of brought her back to that place. And you probably had similar experiences, eh?
Well, yeah, that's very interesting that you mentioned that. The vocal healing method was for just that. The idea is that when you have an injury, the memory of that injury is encoded into that body part that was injured, and that memory holds in there. So it's like it's traumatized. So you can go in with the crystal, and you go in through your mind with the charged crystal that's attuned to your resonant signature, and you go into your mind with the crystal, and you actually enter in that bony structure which functions like a crystal, and you get like immediate images in your mind of what happened to you. I mean, you've been knocked out, and then you, like, maybe you were knocked out, and you went down a flight of stairs. Well, he said, well, I've always had problems with my legs after such and such a day. I don't remember what happened. Maybe you were drunk and you didn't know what happened. You take the crystal and you get an image of you, like, you know, kind of out of it. And then you get the image of you rolling down a flight of stairs. And then after you have that, you put it in the crystal and you can, you know, by a release of your energy through the nose, you can break that energy signature and that downloads into the crystal and you can delete it. So what you just said with the hands is, yeah, that's absolutely true. Because, you know, you have this really, very, very complex, we can call it an entity, which is your hands. And it records what you do with your hands. So, I mean, what you're saying, you know, I think that's just right on.
Excellent. I've been doing this for years. I can't remember where I heard it, but... It so resonated with it. I tried it the first time. The first time I lost something after I heard it, and it absolutely works. You know, you can ask your hand, and you know, we always think that we think with our heads, and like you're demonstrating here, Jack, that we have consciousness all over our bodies. Our knees have a consciousness. If anybody who plays a musical instrument will realize that what you're doing is you're training your body parts, and once your body parts are trained, you know, you're playing scales, and the reason you play scales is so that your hands will go to those particular specific locations, and when you think a chord of B flat, or when your eyes, you know, you can even train it so that when your eyes see three dots on lines, that your fingers will automatically, without going through the brain, catch that. And, well, not really without going through the brain, but without going through the kind of consciousness thinking process that it's the same as riding a bicycle, really, isn't it? You have to remember to do several things at the same time, and if you think you can't do it, you won't be able to do it. But yes, exactly.
Yeah, and thinking about that, I've heard before that there's been experiments where they took a salamander, took out its brain, put it like through a blender, and put it back in there, and they led it through a maze, and the same maze that it could go through before, and it did it anyway. I mean, it can do it as fast as it did before, but it still managed to go through the maze. So, I really don't think that your brain is where everything is processed at. It may be the main point, but it's definitely not the center of all of it.
Absolutely.
There's more to it than that.
So, yeah. So what else is cool about the hands? Oh yeah, the chakras, right? So we got we've been talking about like this. You were saying that there are meridian points. So there's a chakra that is in the palm of your hand, and there's one at each end of your finger. Each fingertip has a chakra in it as well. So when you're doing these mudras, they will and like you were saying in the last show that when two things are in frequency together, they stick, don't they? It's like when you're tuned in on that plate or on rubbing the side of a crystal, when you're tuned into it, your finger will suddenly stick. And so your fingers will do that because the chakras in your fingertips will be vibrating magnetically.
You want me to explain about that a little bit with your hands?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, well, there's a Chinese tradition and there's a Japanese tradition. I know more about the Japanese since I'm a karate teacher. But anyway, now your pinky on either hand is supposed to be qi, which has to do with the earth elements in your body. Then your ring finger is sui, which is the water element of your body. Then your middle finger is ka, which is fire. And then your index finger is fu, which is wind, and your thumb is ku, which means void. And when you're thinking about the void, I mean, think of like a vortex. It's just, that's the method for moving energy throughout your body. So let's say you're taking your thumb and you're moving it on the stick pad. Well, since it's moving energy around, this energy is being broadcasted, matches the frequency on that pad, it sticks together because there's an energetic attraction, and it makes a static field that, you know, makes it stick.
Okay.
And
we got most of that. Can you just run back the sounds on and the element of each finger, because some of it got blocked.
Okay. All right. Now your pinky. Your pinky is qi, which is ground or earth. Your ring finger is sui, which is water. Your middle finger is ka, which is fire. Your index finger is fu, which is wind. And your thumb is ku, which is void, which is for moving around energy like a vortex.
Interesting. Interesting. So having my thumb resting on the shaft of the crystal, that is quite normal because it's taking the vortex into the crystal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's say you're holding a staff. Well, when you point the staff, you have qi and you have sui down, and they're wrapped around the. They're wrapped around the vessel, so you have water and earth wrapped around the vessel, and then you have fu, which is void, wrapped around the stick, and then you have fu, which is your index, and you have ka, which is fire. I mean, think literally fire, and they're both pointing down the shaft. So that gives you a very vivid image of what you're doing by pointing your hand down the center of the shaft. And that happens in whatever stick that you're trying to point. That's the form that you naturally take.
Excellent.
So, yeah, you can think of that when you're projecting energy through it.
Right, so I'll try and remember. So you were going to kind of carry on with that, weren't you?
What's that?
No. All right. So that's right. So we've got covered one. Well, there's so many things. All right, here's a question for you. You know you can get crystals that have been polished up, you know. So you take a natural crystal and they're polished up, and they're made even, so it's a proper, you know, regular hexagon. Most of them are slightly misshaped and all of that stuff. Do they work if they've got nice tips? Do they that sounds rude. If the tips of the crystals are nice, tips, if they got nice tips, does that mean that they'll transmit energy correctly, cleanly?
Cleanly, it will. When there's fractures in it or chips in it, it causes secondary vibrations, and usually it doesn't change what energy you're trying to transmit. It's just, it makes it so that there's a lot less energy going through it. I mean, think of the crystal like the hose. Well, if the hose is cut off at a point, there's not going to be much flow. If there's cracks in it, or fractures, the pressure is going to go out the sides of it, and you're going to get less water coming out the end. It's really not that much different, except, you know, you're thinking more about energy itself and not water. So yes, it works. Any crystal works. It's just how much energy it will cohere. That's the only reason for having one that's, you know, just perfect and, you know, fully developed. It's perfect. It's geometrically sound. It's just a lot more powerful because its ability to cohere the energy is far beyond what, you know, just a regular, you know, dinged up crystal would.
So that's great. So we can use these other crystals as well. Although it's always nice to find a good, a natural crystal that is in perfect form, isn't it? One of the things that I also do with my crystals is that I use copper wire. So there are various things you can do with that. Like, can you talk a little bit about the scalar aspects of using crystals? Are you familiar with the sucker punch?
Well, I've heard about it. From what I heard is it's an organized device that sends, from what I remember, it's a square waveform energy through your body. Now, the organ energy can actually transmit electricity through it. So what I imagine it's doing is that it's transmitting this electrical pulse to a certain frequency, and that by doing this, you can kill parasites in your body. That's pretty much my understanding of it.
So you're not familiar, but that's fine. Actually, Dakota's got another question for you, which is, how much training did you have in order to properly use crystals? And I have a feeling that the answer is not going to be as simple as you might imagine, eh?
To my knowledge, I wasn't formally trained to use crystals. What I did is I went in and I read on this a little bit in the last interview that I did with you. I was just curious about the crystals, so I began studying it, and, you know, I want to have a more scientific approach to it. So the people that I found that had a scientific approach to it were Wilhelm Reich, Carl Hans Wells, and Marcel Vogel. And Reich and Wells deal more in the radionics and the orgone energy stream itself. and Vogel focused on the crystal. So how I learned how to do the crystal is by finding all the articles and all the information I could find related to Vogel's studies on the crystal, and then I tried to recreate them as best I could with what I had. What I've learned to do with it is from talking with others and experimenting hands-on to see, you know, what worked better. Like I've discussed holding the crystal in your hand and getting an energy structure and pointing it to your other hand. Well, that's just a simple, no-nonsense way to find out the energy, how much energy flows coming through there, because your senses are very complex, probably more complex than any modern technology that we have now. So when your senses tell you a certain thing about how the energy is flowing, and you can repeat that, so then you have criteria for expanding your science, expanding your knowledge base. So I took the crystals and I did all kinds of things with it. I've taken the crystals and I've cut them to certain shapes. As I've cut them, I found that the closer I get to Marcel Wolf's four-sided crystal, which is supposed to represent the Kabbalah tree of life, the closer I get to that. And also, each end is like kind of represents the pyramids. One is cut to the same shape as the Cheops pyramid. And the Cheops pyramid, in this regard, we would assume that it would be a receiver of this electrical energetic field. And that's also why when we hold it in our hands, it shoots it out so well. So it's actually pyramid technology. It's kind of interesting. But I found out that the closer I get to Vogel's works and what he prescribed, the better I had. The better instrument I had to send energy. I did experiments where, like, I would sing to the crystal, and it would carry out a vibration that you could feel in the crystal. Like, I remember one time I was sitting there listening to, like, the Star Trek: The Next Generation, and it was the opening song. It has this dun 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 sound on there, and I was holding this thing, and all of a sudden my crystal began vibrating to the same things as what was coming in. And those tones are kind of like a crystal-like tone. So I thought that was, you know, very fascinating. So I found that it would resonate to just outside energies by it because my attention was on the program and I was holding the crystal, so it tuned into that and it began going to that. But this is just the simple, no-nonsense kind of way I've experimented with them. And like I was saying, I was grinding on them and it would shock me. And I would see it light up on the inside, and I would meditate with the crystal, like, on my forehead, and, like, I'd get really tired. I even found out that energy can be focused back into matter, because I've actually grown crystals and changed their shape just by intention and enough organ energy. And, well, I hope that's a good enough answer anyway.
Just in time for her next question. Jack, isn't crystal life a cumulative of all your previous interests and training, such as Eastern philosophy, etc.? Did I say crystal life?
Yeah.
Crystal use, accumulation. I think she's saying accumulation of all your previous interests and trainings.
Oh, okay. Like everything kind of evolved into the use of crystals? Is that what...
Yeah, everything that you've learned, when you started to learn about crystals, it brought it all together for you.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, it seems like to me that everything unfolds to something else. Everything is unfolding to what you're doing now. If you pay enough attention to what's going on and you take yourself seriously, everything that came before ready to you for what's coming now. And I believe that's true very much so with my study of crystals. And, you know, I was studying Vogel, and Vogel said, one day, you know, just so that you see, using these crystals, we're going to upload into water, medicine, and all these chemicals and all these pharmaceutical companies are just going to have an absolute hissy fit over this. And they're probably going to come and try and take them down because... just the possibilities of the crystal using for healing and just about anything, because you have an interface that works directly with your mind. It's just one of the most amazing things ever to get involved with. So yes, I think there's a cumulative thing, and of course, as the lore goes, the people of Atlantis have these crystal technologies, and from what I've experienced with it, I wouldn't doubt it. We can do so many things with them. Like I was saying, I was actually growing a crystal just using energy, and I don't know, you probably could, I don't know. I think Randy Martins once had a guest who said that in the past, people would just imagine something like a chair, and they have the ability that if there's enough, like let's say there's enough people focusing on that with them, they could actually manifest a chair out of nothing. I don't remember who the guest was. I think he was talking about like rays and these other things, but I just found it very interesting to think back on that too. You've had guests in the past on World Spirit Radio that have said similar things.
So they have, and very interesting you were talking about that. So, sorry, I've just seen we got two questions. One from Karen, and I think we'll take that one first because the very beginning that she missed the very beginning. Is it possible to discuss how to charge a crystal, or is that too involved? Now, we didn't discuss how to charge crystals, but we were talking about how to make them vibrate and using various methods. But you have another way of charging, programming and discharging. Would you be able to describe in detail this kind of breath that you were showing?
Mm-hmm. Well, you can go to the royalcrystals.net and it has a little tutorial on there on how to do this. Vogelcrystals.net.
Vogelcrystals.net.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'll type it in.
Yeah, if that would be great. So going to Vogel Crystals, it will describe the breath, because it was we heard the sound of it, but we couldn't exactly see how it. There we go. So you can go through the tutorials there and see that. Thank you very much, Jack. let's just take the last question, which is from Time Is Now, who's in Australia. Regarding crystals, does size matter?
The bigger the crystal, the more energy it can hold, and it can bring through its crystalline structure. So the bigger it is, I mean, think of it as a battery. You have a little battery, and then you have a car battery. Like the difference between a double A and a car battery. Which one do you think can hold more energy?
Exactly.
So yes, a bigger crystal can hold more energy, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you can operate it at its full potential, because the crystal is only a tool for focusing your own energy. So just because you have a big crystal doesn't mean that you can do more than another guy who has a little crystal who's been meditating like a Zen Buddhist monk for half of his life. So the crystal is just a tool for focusing your own energy. If it's bigger, you can do more with it, but you may not be able to access it or do much with it than a smaller crystal, because you don't have the capacity in your own body. And the healthier you are, the more you can access this energy. But I think that's kind of, if you don't have energy in your life to normally go about your business, you have less energy to work with. So I think that's pretty self-explanatory if you think about it.
That's a great answer. Thank you very much, because, you see these massive crystals that in an underground cave, and the guy's there, and he's standing on this thing. And apparently it's incredibly hot in that place as well. So there must be a lot of energy coursing around, eh? I'm describing the underground crystal cave with those massive, massive crystals, 40 feet long.
And I've heard some people say, just talking with crystals to people, Like some have said that, well, no, you shouldn't take it out of the ground. Those crystals that are in the ground are providing a vital function to the Earth's energy field. And you really shouldn't be tampering with those. And they say, well, it's probably better that you make synthetic crystals, then you're not damaging the natural flow. Now, you can just consider that for yourself. But I like using synthetic crystals because it's a fully developed crystal and it's clearer. And they're often cheaper than mined natural crystals. And also, another thing that Vogel taught is that the crystal itself, you know, talking about your hands, it remembers traumas. Well, the crystal does that too. So when you get a new crystal, it had some kind of a trauma when it was broken from the wall of the cave. That memory of the impact of it actually makes an inharmonious vibration inside the crystal. And how you take that off is by taking the crystal, reprogramming it, and then reprogramming it with the vibration of love. And the love actually seems, and I've done this myself, and the more I do that, it does seem like it heals the crystal. And I've even had a crystal that had a fracture in it, and I was basically meditating the fracture would go away, and I would project love energy into it, again with that kind of like a sneeze, energy projection into it. And after a while, the little lines of the fracture began disappearing.
Wow. So what appears to be a solid glass-like inanimate object isn't really inanimate at all, is quite conscious and also able to heal itself, which is a certain a quality of what we would call life, because it knows who it is. Is there a version of... you answered it before. It's the helical energy of the depositing of the crystal in the first place that is like the DNA for the crystal. How does a quartz crystal know how to form itself?
Well, some people talk about there being like a hollow earth, and they talk about crystal cities and Akashic records. Well, some old teachings, like they say it's the world crystal, it's the crystal inside the earth, it's the mother earth, you know, it's consciousness. Well, let's say that this is true. There's a big mom crystal and there's a big daddy crystal. Well, when a little crystal grows up, it gets its consciousness and some of its order from the big daddy and the big mama crystal. thinking about people too, some say that when you die, your consciousness just kind of goes off and then it waits until the right situation, until a body is formed. That is enough in sync with that consciousness, of the consciousness reaches that baby that comes out of the womb. Well, if we think about that, then wouldn't the crystals also be something similar?
So, we have more questions. It's lovely. There's a nice flow with crystals, with questions here. Poppy asks, are we not crystalline bodies? Which is absolutely what you were saying before, that your bones are crystalline in nature, that we have liquid crystal coming through our bloodstream, magnetic fluid. Our blood is magnetic fluid, full of iron. So that's part of the energy that moves through the bones in our crystalline bodies. Are there any other examples of crystalline matter in our bodies?
Yeah, from what I've heard, just looking at various sources, I heard one guy say that inside your nucleus, all your cells, there's a structured pocket of fluid in there. And it actually takes form like a liquid crystal. So, you know, if that's true, then every living cell in your body gets information from a liquid crystal matrix. And then, like, again, your bones can function like crystals. So, you know, how many bones do you have in your body? Well, if crystals structure water, then all that structured water takes the crystalline structure itself, because the water forms around the crystal molecule, and the crystal is actually, it forms around the crystal. So, yeah, what part of your body isn't somehow related to a crystal? And, you know, thinking about your third eye, well, your third eye is supposed to be like a sac that has, like, a retina, and it has crystalline structures in it, too. So, yeah, there's crystals all throughout your body, one form or another, crystals and water. And the crystal itself is supposed to be, if I remember correctly, about 70% water.
Is that so?
So, yeah.
Very, very good. Very good. All right. I just got a message from Trem, and he's bowing out. His internet's not doing too well, and he'll speak to you further down the road, I think, Jack. We are talking about crystals. I am talking with Jack 523, and it's good to have you all here in the chat room in Wolf Spirit Radio. Thank you for being polite and happy with each other. So, yes, that's lovely. I was just looking down the questions here. There was one that passed by. Oh, yeah. Which is a slightly related thing, and this is the other way around. See, and time is now saying, some say entities live in crystals. What do you think, Jack?
Can be, because if the crystal is like a memory card, if something, like I was talking about, like, well, let's say your consciousness leaves your body, then once you have an appropriate body for it to enter into it, it can enter it and it can reanimate that body. Well, let's think of the crystal as being a body. Well, let's say there's an astral entity that doesn't have a body to attach to in this physical plane. Well, could the crystal not be programmed to withhold this consciousness, this information into the crystalline body and store it there? And since the crystal, you know, it's still, even if it's just laying around there, it's still gathering some atmospheric electricity and some warmth and some light, which it can transduce into energy. I think it is possible. And of course, you know, through different media and stuff, you can hear stories of, like, of beings that were captured and trapped inside a crystal body. So
yeah, they did that in Superman, didn't they? Those criminals were trapped within a crystal rectangle thing, zooming up into space. If I remember correctly. Anyway, so yeah, so that's an interesting. So crystals being, or we being crystals, and crystals being houses, and that made me think about the crystal skulls.
Yeah,
and in particular the one known as Max.
The crystals, so they just seem eerie to me. But yeah, I mean, I can understand that. I mean, well, you have your own mental capacity, and it can interact with the crystalline lattice. Well, if you have a giant crystal that's cut to the same shape as your skull, I'd imagine that since it has that structure that's near, like your skull, there's probably a very supreme, there's a supreme structure through the orgone field between your mind and that crystal. And I imagine that's the reason why we have the crystal skulls, is because you have the supreme example of something that can react with your mind. I've never actually used a crystal skull, but it seems to make sense to me.
Uh-huh. So, yes. I mean, I know certainly that there are a few crystal users in the chat room here. It's very interesting. And, yeah, I mean, here's some, you know, one thing that I have is I had this little double terminated crystal that I had, and I took it on a journey with me, and I would set it in the car, and I would say, okay, make a field around this car to it, I would say, that was like, invisible. It's like nobody cares about it. You know, it's not your problem. I used to park it in the most dodgy parts of London, and it never got touched. So I don't know if it was like shark spray or what, but it did seem to. So I use it now. I have it in a pendant, and this is where I also want to talk about is I came across this design on the Organite sites. For a thing that is known as the Little Big Secret. And essentially what it was, a coil made of very thick copper wire, very stiff, that was wound around a crystal. The coil was wound in a Fibonacci form. And this is what I make my pendants using this particular formula. Which is, I have the magnets that squeeze the crystal, and I wrap around that, depending on the size, either 3 or 5 turns, and then I make another coil, 2 other coils on either end of the crystal, that has, the first one was 3, the second one would be 5, and if the first one was 5, the second one would be 8 turns, or as many turns as would fit on the actual crystal itself. And essentially the idea behind that is that the one in the middle will vibrate, and that will cause the coils at the either end to vibrate, but in a Fibonacci harmonic. See, 3 and 5 and 5 and 8 are Fibonacci numbers. They go in the Fibonacci sequence. have you come across using coils with your organite or with your crystals? Is that something, yeah, something that I've been doing?
My G generator is basically that. It's a bunch of coils, it's organite, and it's fusible organite with coils around it. And at the top there's a silver ring, and in the center there is a cabochon crystal. And then I turn the entire setup until it seems to gather more energy, like it tunes into the energy grid of the compass direction, the magnetic north and south.
It's sensitive to direction, so it tunes into, from what I understand, that the chi flows from the south to the north. Is that correct, or does it go north-south?
Well, I don't know. Yeah. But, you know, you're laying along the same energy grid as the magnetic north and magnetic south.
Yeah.
And when you turn it right, you're actually dialing into that a little bit. So, however much it can hold within its structure, it gathers from that line. So you're just tuning into the Earth's frequency. The Earth's, well, I said before, the electricity can go through the argon stream, and by tuning it in there, you're actually getting a current from it. It may be very small, but you're still getting it.
Yeah, is this the principle behind Tesla's battery?
Or yes.
Tesla's Earth battery.
My chi generator is based on Tesla's power, except it's very scaled down, and it transmits the energy through the orgone field instead of having a spark gap. It travels through the orgone energy stream, and I imagine, like when I was fastening the crystals on the grinder, what actually shocked me was probably the energy around the crystal within its own energy field. So it wasn't actually because, you know, the crystal itself isn't metal. It's crystal, so it doesn't have that kind of connection. So what I believe actually shocked me was the overgrown energy stream around the crystal. It just got where it was so much that it actually just it had a polar electric jump from the crystal because it couldn't hold any more into my body. And that's another phenomenon is when I grind crystals and there's no water on the crystal, I get dehydrated very quickly. It's interesting.
Excellent. So tell me a little bit more about your grinding crystals. What do you use? Do you use a Dremel or something a little more heavy duty?
Just a regular bench grinder.
Oh, what, with the two wheels?
Yep.
Really?
Oh. Well, I use that. You have to be careful with it because, I grind on it a little bit. And I try and get it to a symmetrical geometric shape as much as possible. But you have to be careful with it because it seems like it's, like I was talking about traumatizing the crystal.
Yeah.
Well, that constant vibration and hitting against the grinding wheel, I think actually traumatizes the crystal. So then you take the crystal into your hand and then you deprogram it and then you fill it with love. And actually, when I do it, I get a sense sometimes like, okay, well, the crystal's had enough. It needs to rest for the rest of the day, and I'll put it off to the side. I have this deep feeling that if I keep doing it, it's going to shatter or something. And I've had that happen before where it would just fracture. So, because I think it was stressed out.
yeah, it's probably a bit frightened, a bit. Certainly, if somebody took an electric drill to my head, I'd be freaked out too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I bet.
So here's the thing. Another question from Time Is Now. You're good with the questions. Do you think the capstone of the pyramid was a crystal? And if so, what would the pyramid be for?
From what I remember hearing is that around the pyramid there was another, it was some kind of like something near to being limestone that actually encased the pyramid. It eventually it fell off and it was actually taken up and it was used for some other monument somewhere. But limestone, and interesting too, was I read before that the ancient Israelites would hold their water in troughs of limestone, and that when they put it in the limestone, the water inside a trough would actually be cooler than the surrounding atmosphere that structured the water. And that's an interesting thing, too, is that when I structure water, it seems like it's colder than the surrounding area. I think when it structures the water, it actually repels heat somehow. I'd have to experiment with that more. But anyway, if you have this limestone that's around it, then you have a crystalline structure. And since in a specific geometric shape, you have a certain frequency that's being focused. Now, let's think about the pyramid itself. Let's think of it like a funnel. And if this funnel is on an acupressure point of the Earth itself, then it's shooting the energy up into the base. And since it's in a geometric form, it has an energetic spin of itself. And this thing goes up into it, and it gets a smaller and smaller space. So you have this field, just like an aerosol can. You press the little nozzle down, and since there's more pressure inside the can and less pressure outside, it wants to go from high pressure to low pressure. I believe it's the same phenomenon with the pyramids. So it's taking in this organ energy from the Earth and the electricity of the Earth. It's spiraling up into it, and then it's transmitting out of the tip. If it has limestone on it, then it functions as a crystal. So you have a coherent field around it, and you have a heck of a lot of energy, and it wants to shoot out of the tip. And from what I've studied, too, is that above every pyramid that's constructed like at the same degree as like the pyramids at Giza, that it actually has an electric field above it. Like some kind of a static electric field, and it just saturates the air above it. So what do I think the pyramids are? I think that's exactly what the pyramids do. It's they actually create electricity. And interesting enough, too, there's hieroglyphs inside the pyramid that show like this giant, like a giant bulb that has like a something that looks like a snake inside of it. And you know, they've gone into the pyramid and they've looked around in there and they said, well, how is it possible that they got light down here? They kind of reflected over mirrors enough to get into these inner chambers, and there's no markings of soot on the walls. So how the heck did they get light down here to see what they were doing to make these hieroglyphs? So I think it's fairly apparent to me that the pyramids actually generated electricity, and they but by making a shape form vibration, they were actually able to tune into that electricity safely without frying themselves, and were able to power things with it by sending electricity through an orgone energy structure, and then putting it to a shape form vibration, and that was actually what they dialed in that electricity with. That's what I believe the pyramids, and then of course they go down there and they do all kinds of weird rituals around the pyramids. But you know, it's got energy there, so I guess they're dialing in the energy to do something with. And also, again, I've said that the crystals have the pyramid shape on them. When you're holding it, it has that same transceiver pyramid angle on the side that goes towards your palm, which is the side that was cut off from this cave wall, so that's the energy receiving. So I'd imagine that they both receive energy and hold it, and then anything else that can dial into that structure can pull the energy from it. In fact, if you ever want to try it, you can link your mental focus to like an object like pyramids and try and consciously pull energy from them and see where that takes you.
Indeed, yes. The magical number of 51 degrees, 51 minutes, being exactly the same as on a natural quartz crystal. This is the interesting thing, that the side of the pyramid is exactly the same slope as you find on a natural quartz crystal. But the interesting thing is that the quartz crystal has six sides and the pyramid has four. Oh, somebody's just downloaded something. Very good. Don't know where that came from. that's always something that something that has fascinated me for a while, is that slope. I suppose you could take a quartz crystal and grind it down to four sides that have that same angle, but I haven't quite figured it out. But can't quite get the geometry in my head of that. But, yes, what a fascinating conversation. The Great Pyramid, also, as has been pointed out, is in the center of all known landmass. If you travel west and you travel east, you've got the longest line from coast point to coast point, and the same with north and south. So, in a way, you could say that the pyramid is the thing about which everything else is tearing and expanding as the planet expands slowly. So, Catherine has a question. What are the properties of large crystals containing a lot of quartz and iron? Well, sounds like it's organite, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I think JP just answered your question.
Yep. It'll do what organite does, yeah. So crystal programming. Crystal here. Psionics, psychotronics. We were touching a little bit on that with Trem earlier, with the lightsaber concept and things like that. But we were talking sort of about an hour ago, we're talking about combining these teachings, combining the sound technology with the light technology and the crystal technology. If anybody here is listening to this show and can build anything like that, apart from me, It'd be interesting. It may be a good little earner for you if you can make things like this, because you know, this is the medicine of the future. We're going to have energy, sound, light, and frequency healing. The understanding will be, everybody will understand. It's such a simple understanding that we all need to vibrate at a particular frequency, and boom, you just give it. And there's no judgment. This is what I love about frequency diagnosis and healing, is that there's no judgment to say somebody's a good person or a bad person, that they've done a good thing, or you know, it's not like a karma or anything like that. It just is a number. It's just a frequency. You just put the frequency in, they're better. Yes, I asked that as was in the stones of a small megalith circle I recently visited. Oh, right. Yeah, so, yeah, megalithic circle will certainly be some form of orgone tapping device, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah. One thing that I heard Marcel Vogel say in one of his interviews, you can look him up on YouTube if you search for Marcel Vogel. He said that the Easter or Ishtar Island, it has a bunch of stones, and they're in a certain form. They're in circles, and what he said that it was a giant cyclonic generator. And I'd imagine, you know, a cyclonic generator means it's cohering energy into cycles, because it's actually generating more energy than what's going into it. Well, again, let's think of the crystal. It has this helical structure, and the energy goes up into it, and it bounces around the facets of it. Well, if you put these stones in, well, assuming that's correct, coming with an idea, if you had an acupressure pressure point, like a ley line that had a lot of energy there, and you put stones, a certain type of stone, and arrange it in a certain geometric form, and, you know, let's think of a regular motor. You have two magnets, and you have a copper wire wound around it, and when these things cycle around each other, it generates an inducted current with the cycle of energy upon each other. Well, if you have all this organ energy and you have electricity, even human bodies have electricity. So if you had a group of people and were in a circle, and they're all meditating on the same thing, you could say that's a cyclonic generator. If you did it even bigger, we had a bunch of these stones which are gathering energy from this acupressure point, which have both electricity and the organ energy, and there's something there to focus it in the center, then have a giant powerhouse of energy used for I don't know what. But that's what I would imagine that's related to. Like a megalithical structure of stones.
It sounds like exactly the same as the temple that you were describing earlier when we were talking about mantra and sound. I've been in the middle of Stonehenge. I've stood there during a meditation, and the one thing that I noticed straight away as I walked in there is that it sounds like you're inside a building. Obviously, you are inside something that somebody had built, yes. But the acoustics were like you were inside a building. And it's very odd, because there is no roof, and there's, you know, you can see the grass and everything, but it sounds like you're inside. So there's obviously acoustic properties that are built in there. I was looking around, and I noticed that the insides of the stones in Stonehenge are concave, so they were deliberately built to reflect sound this way. And when you do chanting, that there would be a resonant frequency of these things bouncing across each other. Yes. Oh yeah, time is now. She's from Australia. You can see that in indigenous art in Australia, You can see that in Indigenous Art Australia, and they show the song lines. You heard about that? That the Australian natives call ley lines song lines.
Well, I think it's all related to the same thing. I think our ancestors, going back far enough, were actually smarter than us in some aspects. And a lot of that's been lost to a lot of modern, so-called modern people. But the interesting thing about that is we have the internet. We have an interface where we can, we have a regular interface that we're accustomed to. We can look up all this stuff. And we can actually go back in history and compare other indigenous cultures with other ones. And we can actually begin to see how very similar they are in some ways, and yet they couldn't have had any kind of communication, supposedly. Or I've heard it said before that in the Americas, there were a bunch of pyramids and burial mounds. But these were step pyramids. Well, you go to the Middle East, you have these pyramids, and you have these ziggurats, and I can't remember what it's called, but the Chinese had these shapes that are somewhat similar to that. They're kind of like them.
And they're in Bosnia. They're all over the planet. Jack, we're out of time. What a fantastic show it's been. Thank you very much for coming on. And I hope you'll come back for another show, and we'll discuss. Jack, do you have any websites or anything that you do your stuff on?
Yeah, well, I have a website, a group website where I do KGN, and I actually have a couple courses where I have KGN on there. I can post that into the chat later.
Brilliant. So, good luck. Go well. Be well. Everybody, thank you very much for tuning in. This has been Ever Beyond. Until next time, good night. Beyond.